together in the Word of God in two places in the Gospels. First of all, in Luke chapter 10, and then in John's Gospel chapters 11 and 12. Luke chapter 10, John chapter 11. St. Luke's Gospel chapter 10 at verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And Martha had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted. That is, she was allowing her attention to wander because of all that she felt she had to do. Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and agitated and troubled. That word troubled could really read, Martha, Martha, you are anxious about many things and clattering about. You know the kind of thing, banging the plates down on the table, banging the pots down in the cooker. Martha was peeved, and she was letting it be known that she was peeved. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. Turn over now to John chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to Jesus, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness is not unto death, it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by means of it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary. Verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary sat in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She's not being critical. She's saying exactly what Mary said later on in verse 32. If you had been here, only you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to Martha, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who is coming into the world. When Martha had said this, a tremendous confession of faith, she went and called her sister Mary, saying very quietly, Mary, the Master is here, and he is calling for you. John chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at table with him. Mary took a pound of costly ointment of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. But Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, he who was to betray Jesus, said, Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and as he had the money box, he used to take what was put into it. Jesus said, let her alone. Let her keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only on account of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priest planned to put Lazarus also to death, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Amen, and may God bless to our hearts the reading of his word. Now will you turn with me to the passages of scripture that we read earlier in the service, and perhaps you could have them available, open in front of you for consultation, and I think perhaps it will help you as we proceed with the sermon. Luke chapter 10 at the end of the chapter, then John chapters 11 and 12. In our Sunday morning series that we've entitled Encounters with Jesus, we have concentrated so far on individuals of various types and various circumstances. But this morning we are going to consider our Lord Jesus Christ and a family, two sisters and a brother. Martha, who I think owned the house, her sister Mary, and her brother Lazarus. This home in the little town of Bethany, a home and a family which, according to the gospel record, was very, very precious to our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll never know just how often he went to Bethany. Certainly we know from the scriptures that each evening, each night, I think, in the last week of his earthly life, that is from Palm Sunday right through to Good Friday, each night he spent the night in that home in Bethany. We are told in the 11th chapter of John's Gospel, the 3rd verse, of the love that Jesus had for that family. And we are told also in that 11th chapter of John's Gospel that when Lazarus died, the basis of the appeal that the two sisters made to Jesus was not how much they loved Jesus, nor how much they had done for Jesus, although both these were true. The basis of their appeal, John chapter 11 verse 5, was his love for them. They went and said, Lazarus, whom you love, has died. And in the 11th chapter of John's Gospel at the 36th verse, we are shown how the love that Jesus had for Lazarus, and indeed for the two sisters as well, was a love that was obvious. It was the crowd of people, the Jews, including the rulers and the Pharisees, who made the comment, how he loves them. It's a very, very wonderful story. It is something, I think, that we do not often enough consider. The love that Jesus has. Not simply for you and me, for individuals, but for us in the context of our families. And this is the love that Jesus had for the family in Bethany. And oh, what a family it was, and what a home it was. Sometimes at weddings here in Sandyford, we pray for the young couple, once they are joined together in marriage, that their home might prove to be a veritable Bethany, where the Son of God loves to come and to stay, and where many of the Lord's people, the Lord's disciples, also find shelter and comfort and blessing. And in that home at Bethany, there was love. And because there was love, there was fellowship. And there is nothing better to be considering today than fellowship. For it is the word that means communion. And it is out of fellowship with and communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that all our Christian service stems. We know very little in this home at Bethany about Lazarus. And it seems as if Lazarus was the chap who was always in the background. I don't quite know why. Somebody's got to be in the background. Even when there's a banquet, somebody's got to be scrubbing the pots. Lazarus was always in the background. He doesn't seem to have been gifted in any way, verbally or any other way. He was a silent sort of fellow, was Lazarus. He wasn't a man that you would call gifted with personality. In many ways, Lazarus seems to have been a very, very ordinary man. And yet his life and experience were used for a significant demonstration of the glory of God. Lazarus was raised from the dead. And of course, we need to remember that having been raised from the dead, he was called back to the kind of life that was going to involve him in a great deal of persecution and suffering, because the Pharisees were so incensed at Jesus that they were determined to put to death not only Jesus but Lazarus. But as Scripture seems to do, leaving Lazarus aside by and large for the moment, we want to focus this morning on Martha and Mary. And these two ladies are usually set over against each other. And I think that's rather unfortunate, because it's unfair to both of them. And yet they are set over against each other. But if you take the story of Martha and Mary together, you begin to see in these two ladies, and what is recorded of them, the great difficulty there is in holding in balance the life of quiet devotion and the life of practical service. It is very difficult to hold these two together, and we may not say that either one is not necessary. Put it like this: you can have folk so spiritual that they live in a dream world, quite unaware of necessary and desirable things that are crying out to be done. I heard on one occasion, I'm deliberately being vague because it doesn't involve people here, of a student campaign, and the minister on whose church it was based said to me, "You know, they sat there in the halls with their guitars and their eyes closed, gazing sightlessly up to the heavens, and they strummed their guitars and they sang their songs. But none of them seemed to be aware of the fact that the headmaster of the local school had offered them the opportunity to speak to the children in all of the classes every forenoon throughout the campaign. It was never done." You see, they were engaged in devotion. To use the phrase of our story, they were sitting at Jesus' feet. Whether they were hearing his word or not is a different business. You see, you can get people who are so spiritual that they are never aware of the things that need to be done. And on the other hand, you can get people who are so busy, usually very preoccupied with the various interests that are making them busy, and they are so busy that they have no time to be with God. And both kinds of people, this is evident in the story of Martha and Mary, both kinds of people tend to be critical of each other. And both kinds of people tend to lose out in their enjoyment of each other and their enjoyment of the presence of Jesus. Now you see, it is very important to serve the Lord, and it is very important to enjoy the Lord. And I think a communion service should help us to do this in very, very great measure. And this is one reason why we try always to make a communion service as simple as possible, so that nothing will conceal or hinder the fact that what we are here for this morning is to meet with Jesus, to speak with Jesus, to commune with Jesus, to hear Jesus' word, to give ourselves to Jesus, to be prepared to serve Jesus. And as I said earlier on, perhaps it is time, perhaps not every time, but some of the times at communion, we should have the children in here with us. I know they would find it a bit long and they wouldn't understand much of it, but they would gain something whose value is beyond all measurement. They would sense for themselves the holy hush that can come upon the people of God. They would become aware of God. And that would do them good for the rest of their lives. And they would sense, and they would be aware of, and in measure they would be awed by the awareness they have of their parents and their friends bowing in holy, loving worship in the presence of God and praying. Can you think, for example, of any better thing at the Lord's table than, for example, a father to have a child of his at either side of him, to put an arm round the child's shoulder, and for the father to bow his head and close his eyes and pray? Would not these children be aware that they were being carried in their father's arms into the presence of God? And could not that father go home after the communion service and say to his children, whatever age they were, that's exactly what I did when I brought you into Sandyford for baptism. I carried you in my arms into the presence of God. My friends, we must learn. And we must learn all over again the holy sanctity of all that we mean by family worship, not least in the house of God, that we might taste and feel the quietness and the peace and the hope and the desire of God's presence with his people. The important thing is, you see, that we should be with Christ. And the story of Martha and Mary instructs us as to how Christ is to be received and welcomed and enjoyed. In this story, we must not jump to conclusions. We mustn't go barging in and say, oh, well, it's obvious from Scripture. Mary was the spiritually minded one because she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And after all, she was commended by Jesus. And well, Martha, well, we don't quite know what had happened to Martha, but it looks very much as if she was too concerned with salvation by works. Oh, the answer to that is simply that if your salvation doesn't work, it's not salvation. Granted, Martha was too busy on this occasion in the end of Luke chapter 10. But then, you see, a great deal depends on the situation. There is a time to pray. There is a time to lay everything else aside and give yourself to prayer. But there is a time to stop praying and to work. If you know your Bibles, you could think, for example, of the story of Joshua. After the conquest of Jericho, then they moved on to the next fortified city, Ai, which turned out to be a catastrophe for the people of God because they were confounded by their enemies. The people, the children of Israel, had broken faith with God. There was sin in the camp. And Joshua, oh, he was so burdened about the city, he fell upon his face. Oh, how he prayed and he prayed and he prayed until the Lord said, Joshua, what are you doing down there in your knees? Get up on your feet. There's something to be done. Deal with this situation. Did you notice in Luke chapter 10, and we only read the last few verses from 38 to the end, did you notice the story that went before the story of Martha and Mary? It was the story of the Good Samaritan. With emphasis on the fact that it was the man who did something who pleased God. And of course, I think James takes this up in his epistle, chapter 1, verse 22, where he says that we are not to be hearers of the word only, but doers. Because he says, if you only hear the word of Jesus and never do it, you're deceiving yourself. Now, I want you to compare the stories. In Luke's account, Luke chapter 10, we have Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, we all need to learn to do this. Not least because in this picture of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, there is something serene. There is something devoted or dedicated. There is something that speaks to us of communion. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And over against that there was Martha, active, bustling, preoccupied, clattering the dishes and the pots and the pans, and getting more and more flustered and more annoyed, until eventually she had to say something to Jesus, tear her off the strip and tell her what she should be doing. And she, oh, Martha, Martha, said Jesus. You're getting all agitated and worked up and noisy. You need to learn from Mary. But then when we turn over to John's Gospel chapter 11, which we read earlier in the service, you find something quite different. You find Martha. And some of the commentators suggest that Martha was a widow. Oh, young people, learn from widows. They've known what it is to share many years of life with their partner. They've had to learn what it is to face the fact of death in their own home. They have proved the grace of God to keep and to uphold in that awful wrench that comes. Youngsters, learn from widows and widowers. Oh, they're not perfect. In the first story in Luke chapter 10, Martha was far from perfect. But here in John chapter 11, Martha, possibly a widow, is the one who is portrayed as being positive in her faith. It was Martha who, after their brother had died, it was Martha who went out to meet with Jesus. It is Martha that we read about here being led on in her faith. It is Martha here making tremendous confession with regard to her conviction of the truth of God and of his gospel. And it was Martha who heard wonderful words from Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Martha, do you believe that? Yes, Lord, I believe. Oh, what a woman was Martha. She hadn't shown up very well in the kitchen. But oh, how she showed up at the graveside. And did you notice in the story that it was Martha who went and said to Mary, and I've underlined the word in my Bible, she said to Mary, quietly. Oh, there's a wealth of truth and grace there. She went. The house was full of folk. There were all the professional mourners, which tends to accentuate rather than ease the anguish. But Martha got in through the crowd and went up. Mary said so quietly, the Master is here and he's calling for you. It was Martha who helped Mary through that awful situation. Because in that situation in John chapter 11, Mary was quite shattered in her grief. Mary sat in the house. Mary wasn't coping. And yet the story indicates that the two sisters went together with Jesus to the graveside. And perhaps it was that day that they realized in a new way just how much they needed each other without any changing of their respective personalities. In John chapter 12, our third reading this morning, you find another picture. We're not sure if it's in the house of Bethany or the house of Simon the leper, but it doesn't really matter. And in that little story in John chapter 12, you see the two sisters still being true to themselves. Still doing things in the way that was most natural for them. Martha was obviously a good cook. Mary was obviously the more artistic and expressive of the two sisters. Well, if I had to choose, I know who I'd ask to cook the dinner. I'd ask Martha. Mary might arrange it all on the plate most artistically. It could well be tough. But not Martha. Oh, do you see what I'm getting? Oh, some of you know what a tremendous deliverance it was for me and encouragement when I discovered that although I loved my brother, minister in Edinburgh, very, very dearly, that I didn't have to be like him. Because I couldn't. People often say to me, oh, I was in Hollywood the other Sunday, and oh, you two brothers are so alike. Well, that's true. But we are mightily different. That's why God put one of them in Edinburgh and one of them in Glasgow and not the other way around. He couldn't stand Glasgow and I couldn't stand Edinburgh. We won't say anything about our own congregation's reactions. That would be incidental. But Martha and Mary were like that, you see. And they had discovered that being different didn't devalue either. We spoke about this once before, I think, was it a Sunday evening? I'm not very sure. Both these two sisters both showing their gratitude in the way that was most natural to them, as indeed Lazarus. Lazarus sat at the table. He never said anything. But he was there. And you could see that Lazarus was pleased, and Jesus could see that Lazarus was pleased, and Jesus could look at Lazarus and think, oh, that bloke would do anything for me. That's true. And Mary and Martha were the same. As far as I can calculate from Scripture, in the house that particular evening, Martha was catering for at least 17 people. Now that is a major undertaking, at least 17 for the main evening meal of the day. But not a trace of agitation, not a trace of complaint, not a trace of criticism, no more clattering of the pots and the dishes, but rather a delightful giving of herself to the job she was doing for Jesus, possibly with the kitchen door open so that she might hear at least something of what was going on by way of conversation. And on the other hand, Mary. Mary doing that which was most natural. Mary doing on that occasion what was necessary. The breaking of the alabaster box of ointment. And the perfume fills the house. And I'm quite sure that Martha in the kitchen could smell the perfume. And I think Martha said, oh, yes. I knew she was going to do it. She told me. I don't know that I could have gone in front of all the folk and done a thing like that. But Martha was glad that Mary could do it. Mind you, Mary got an awful rocket from the disciples for doing it. They criticized her and slandered her, and all that must have hurt her very, very deeply. And I believe Martha would have heard the strident voice of Judas. And I believe instantly Martha's heart would have cared for Mary. Perhaps Martha in the kitchen prayed and said, Lord, help Mary to turn the other cheek. Do you see how much in this story there is of communion and of fellowship, bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ? Can you imagine perhaps after all the disciples and our Lord had laid down to rest or perhaps gone away from the home that night, can you imagine the two sisters and the brother, the close of the day, in family worship? Can you imagine the prayer of that home? And can you not see how all that they did in response to the love of Jesus. Jesus, my Lord, I thee adore. Oh, make me love thee more and more. And help me, Lord, to express it. But you see, love cannot eventually be expressed only in service. Love has to be expressed in devotion and in relationship. Think, for example, of parents who work themselves to the bone, as they say, to give to their children everything that they need. But working so hard and so long to provide the material things, they haven't time to give the children the love that they need, and nothing can make up for that. And this was why Martha was rebuked so gently. It was gentle, but she was rebuked by Jesus. Oh, Martha, Martha, you are too busy.
Martha, ever since I came into the house, you've been doing things. You've never once stopped and come to sit down with me for 5 minutes. And there are too many of us Christians who are like that. We don't have time to sit with Jesus. And Martha needed to be warned that in this process, she was becoming too aware, too self-conscious of all that she was doing. She was also becoming too aware of her sister's apparent inactivity, which inactivity Martha evaluated in relation to Martha, not in relation to Jesus. Martha was also aware of the fact, I think, that she was becoming too tired. And being too tired, she was beginning to feel neglected. She was feeling ill done by. And of course, in some ways, by nature, Martha was a worrier. But you know, if we are worriers by nature, all the more need to make sure that we take time to come and sit at Jesus' feet. This is what the Lord is saying to us from Scripture and in this communion service. Since I have come to you, and you cannot doubt His presence, since I have come to you, be at peace. Learn to rest. Open your heart to the Savior. And in the sweet and holy quiet of His house, as you receive the bread and the wine, receive the Savior. Receive Jesus. Welcome Jesus. Love Jesus and tell Him that you love Him and that you want to love Him more. And in this, you will enjoy Jesus. And at the end of the day, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself will say, haven't we had a wonderful communion Sunday? Oh, my friends, just to be with Jesus is like the very balm of Gilead to heal all your wounds and all your hurts. I invite you, you who love the Lord and seek His grace, to come now with me to the Lord's table. Let's sing our communion hymn.